Welcome to the show, Property Profits Podcast. I'm your host, Bryce Kaminsky, filling in for Dave Dubow. And have you ever wondered how a construction entrepreneur went from fix and flips to a 386 unit project? Today, my guest, Michael Ardner from Florida, shares his secrets to his real estate success, from flying under the radar to raising $1.5 million. Get ready for an insightful conversation. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, if you're watching on the YouTube channel, you're watching on video, he's sitting in his project right now. You can see the scaffold in the background for those of you listening at home. What time is it over in Florida? I guess it's coming up on 8, 9 o'clock now.
Yeah, it's 8 o'clock right now.
How much longer are you going to be working tonight?
We'll plug away for another hour or two.
Cool.
Probably.
Cool. Yeah. It's looking good from what I can see. It's looking pretty good from what you showed me. And obviously you didn't start in real estate doing what you're doing here today. Or maybe you did. It's a construction entrepreneur. So tell me, how did you get started in real estate?
Well, in 2008, when the banks started foreclosing on everybody, I started a construction company then. And we were actually doing renovations for the banks. Mm-hmm. So as their houses would come up for when they would take a house back and repossess a house, yeah, we would go in there, and I had two different companies, and we put bids in and to see who could get the job or what have you. And they would give it to the bid that they thought was the best. And so had 33 employees running 5 job sites at the same time, and that was very lucrative at the time. And then as people started realizing that this may last a while, bigger companies started coming in, and the profit margin shrank and stuff like that. So I ended up having to go to a window screen and door business at that point, and that's kind of how I got into the 386 unit value add. And then from there to fix and flip, and now single family building, ground up construction, and raising money for bigger projects, for multifamily and stuff like that. So it's kind of been my journey in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's a better part of, I guess, 15 years now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Nice, nice. So right now, what are you mostly focused on in your real estate business here in 2023?
We got one fix and flip on the market right now. We have a new house that we just finished that's mm-hmm. going on the market. I'm about a week and a half away from finishing this one. And then we're underwriting some ground up construction stuff right now. We're underwriting an 1,383 unit apartment complex. And we're underwriting 12 lots to do single family houses in. And so things are pretty busy. And then we also just are looking to go to the courtyard steps and start buying some auction stuff.
So yeah, it's that time again.
That. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So what do you like the most about the strategy in real estate that you're employing these days?
Well, honestly, I think that trying to get away from the hamster wheel is kind of the key thing, because you can do as many houses as you want to do, but if you don't deploy that and kind of get some passive income coming in,
yeah,
you're just really going to just kind of be on the same wheel. So
you bought kind yourself of the a focus. Job.
Yeah, exactly. And we're trying to. I'm trying to fire myself from all my jobs.
There you go.
From janitor to CEO, I want to be done with all of them. So
it sounds like the title of your book coming out, From Janitor to CEO, I Want Out. So
yeah, exactly.
Have there been any major challenges you had to overcome in this real estate journey over the last 15 years?
Well, I think the biggest challenge, obviously, and this is kind of the biggest the 800 pound gorilla in the room is funding. Mm-hmm. I grew up, I'm 52, and I kind of grew up with my dad going, well, if you can't afford to pay it cash, you don't need it. And so we never really kind of pressed our credit or anything like that. And in this business, it's the exact opposite. If anything, it's like if you can't afford to pay for it with credit, your cash is only going to go so far. So you're either going to have to get investors, you're going to have to do something in order to make this work. So that's kind of what made it challenging for me. And so then I really don't want to hit up your friends and family and all that stuff because that obviously could ruin relationships and stuff. So that's kind of was nerve-wracking. And I just got to the point where, you know what, I know what I'm doing. So now I'd have no issue going after money because I've gotten that to that point where I've put in the hours in to master my craft and I understand 100% of the building aspect of this thing. So I'm confident in that aspect. So.
Yeah, you've kind of proven the model, proven yourself. And I guess that really does lead me to the next question is, Robert Kiyosaki calls it the unfair advantage. What comes easily to you that other people might find difficult to do?
Well, the construction aspect, I think, is a lot of people are afraid. Like I'm part of a and then obviously seeking I think seeking mentorship too was in a very important part of this because I went I got three quarters of a book on how not to do this business. And so once I get that last quarter, I'm going to monetize my mistakes and a hundred thousand ways how to lose money in real estate, and then end up sell for $20, and monetize my shortcomings or my mistakes and all that stuff. So turn that frown upside down, as they say. But that mentorship was kind of key because what we do is this isn't rocket science. Building a house isn't rocket science. It's not that difficult. A lot of people get it in their mind and have limiting beliefs on what they can accomplish. And I think that seems to be a huge issue with a lot of people. Whereas for me, it was just getting out of my own way. And my mentor really taught me that, you come up with the plan and you get 85% of it down and you jump off the cliff and you'll figure out the last little bits as you're going. There's a minutia. It's just that. It's just minutia. It sorts itself out, for the most part.
Yeah, it can come sometimes keep you from actually taking action in that last 25% that you'll never really know anyhow. So, what are you doing right now to fund your deals? If you're not going to your friends and family, how do you find the funding for these projects that you have, these ambitious projects?
Well, I actually it's about networking. I go to a lot of events. So I was at an event in Las Vegas in November. I was at an event in California in August. I was another event in July in Vegas. Another event in Albuquerque and in Phoenix this year. So I try to go to different events and meet people. And the thing that there's a lot of people that do this that are like junkies that just like to go to events. You go with, but you go with purpose. I go with purpose. My goal is to not drink too much and to find three funders that are going to fund my multifamily deals. And
There's your
that's
pro
what
tips, guys. Don't drink too much and find some investors to fund the multifamily deals.
that's exactly it. That's what my approach is. And I go into each event like that and just try to approach it that way. And it's been very successful for me.
So once you find these people at these network events, how do you, how do you find it most effective to keep in touch with these people? Because you're meeting them from all over North America or maybe even the world. So what sort of strategies can you tell the people at home that are listening about what would be an effective way to stay in touch and really grow those relationships?
Well, the key thing is, I found the key thing is to join a group. Like my mentor has a group, and so I get to see some of the same people over and over and over again. And us being put in that environment over and over again in different environments, you get to kind of bond and grow with them over the period of time. And then they see that you're serious and they understand that you're real. And that actually really solidifies your position and where you're at as well. Because a lot of people, like you meet somebody, you don't know if they're a serious person or not. They can put a dog and pony show on you and say, yeah, here, I'm calling, coming for my fix and flip. And then there's, you know, like a green screen behind me or some nonsense or whatever.
It's just a green screen.
Yeah, exactly.
For people watching, you did show me the whole room. This isn't a green screen.
Yeah. So I think that being able to go to those events and have them back to back, and a lot of the same people are there. And so you're able to bond with those people and they're able to see exactly how serious you are. And it gives you some ideas to collaborate and all that stuff. So.
All right. So let's talk about the whole mentality here around deals. Are you a find the money and then the deal, or are you a find the deal and then the money sort of person?
I'm a find the deal and the money will be there, because if you got a deal, you got money. There's someone that'll fund it. Mm-hmm. I don't care what the situation is. If you find the right deal, it'll be funded. It's not an issue.
So you're always looking then. You're always on the prowl for the next deal.
Yeah. And then, like, for example, like I went out to Vegas and I met a couple of doctors. Mm-hmm. And they're doing they're doing some multifamily that's like a 55 and older. And then they have some mixed use with some doctor's offices below. And so now I'm like, okay, so now I have my eye open for that. So if I run into that, I'll be more than willing to, hey, look at this deal that I brought, you know, that I found that it would be great for you guys, you know, and then we'll handle
what they're looking for.
Yeah. And then we can handle the construction aspect of it. And then they'll partner with us and bring the cash to the table, or, you know, they're doing, like a franchise for other doctors. So it works out well. So I just kind of just match the deals up with the people, you know, and I find out exactly what they're looking for. And as long as it's within my wheelhouse, you know, I'll be more than happy to facilitate something in that aspect.
So when you present a deal, let's say the one you were just talking about, what are your typical steps that you would bring as far as how you would approach that doctor, dentist, lawyer about a deal?
Well, I mean, obviously the first thing you got to do is make sure that it's a deal, you know, so you really have to do your underwriting. And that's where mentorship really helped me out there, because my mentor taught me how to underwrite multifamily really good. Mm-hmm. So whether that's ground up construction or that's value add, I really have a solid understanding. I basically spent a year. I've probably underwritten maybe 80 deals over the last year. And most of them are crap, but at the end of the day, it's that one or two that you find that makes sense. And then, okay, let's kind of push this thing forward and try to do that. So the first thing I do is to make sure that it's a viable deal. Mm-hmm. And then, once it's a viable deal and it makes sense, then, I put together a presentation, depending upon like, the 1383 unit apartment complex. We're working on putting together a presentation for that right now, because the sniff test, as I call it, the sniff test, it passed the sniff test. So it makes sense. And now these guys are ready to approach this and move this forward. So we're in the process of putting the first phase down on what that's going to look like and what the lifting is on that and the capital requirements. And then after that, then we'll do a little simple presentation, you know, nothing outrageous, demos of the area, you know, demographic of the area, who we're targeting, cost per construction, what the rents are based on, you know, based on a broker's, you know, response, and then kind of what potential revenue is, how long we think the project's going to take, and let them digest that. They'll come back with whatever questions they've got, and then we answer that and put the property under contract at that point.
Yeah, and that kind of leads me to my next question. When raising this significant amounts of capital, because chances are, I'm not even going to try to put a price tag on that raise, but it's going to be a significant amount of capital to put that many units together. How do you build that like, know, and trust relationship with these people? Because meeting them at a networking event for a few minutes or a few minutes every time you see them might not be enough to really break out the big money. So how do you build that sort of like, no trust relationship between these events and while you're talking to them? And what sort of things do you do to kind of increase the commitment and the like how much they like, know, and trust you?
Well, it's a combination of things too. So for example, for that project, I myself, I'm not going to be the GC for that. I have a business partner that that would be the GC for that one. And so, for example, he's worked for D.R. Horton, and he's worked for Lennar, and he's done over 4,000 single family houses and have done over 2,000 apartment doors. So he has the resume to actually accomplish that. And then so I lean heavily on his resume because he's been able to accomplish that. And then I'm the friendly face, as you'd say, that tries to puts everybody together. And so I joined the builders group here in the city, the local city. And so that's giving me to the mayor and some of these other higher officials that have to do with the project as well. So when it comes time to be able to do this, I'll be able to bring these people in and introduce them to, here's the mayor, here's the different people that are behind this project that are willing to help us out. So I think that right there will allow that credibility to be there in order for us to be able to take that down.
Yeah, definitely. Again, some more networking, definitely an interesting way of approaching that, because they're like, don't trust me, trust the team, trust the people that trust me. So,
well, that's the key thing. You have to have a team. Like, there's no way I'd be able to do half of this stuff by myself. You know what I'm saying? Even here, I got my guy here, Justin, that's knocking this stuff out for me right now. And while I'm on this call, and then, I'll be hopping back in when I get off the call or what have you. But, you know, it's all about having a team because, you know, like my mentor, he's been doing it for 30 years and, his net worth's like $600 million. There's no way for me to become that person, but I myself, along with you and your skill set that you have, and along with Justin and his skill set and Mike with his skill set, we can all maybe become that person because we all have a specialized knowledge that not everyone else has. And what you do and what I do are two different things, or maybe we do the same thing, but you know, we're able to then bridge the gaps and not have to sit there and go to school forever and ever and ever trying to figure this stuff out ourselves. You know,
We don't all have to know all of the things. We just have to be experts in what it is that we do. So,
exactly.
You know, I always like to ask guys who've been in the business for a while, you know, if you were to start again, what would you do different?
I would start with building houses out of the ground first. And I would do 12 houses a year out of the ground. I would then take that money and then start buying land and taking it through the entitlement process so I can build multifamily out of the ground. And I'd have zero tax liability, and over a 5-year period, I could put together probably 100 and something doors, which obviously when you got 100 and something doors in your pocket at that point, you know, you're not really concerned about making a living because your living's already there. And as long as you're doing 25 units at a time, you really can have a property manager come in there and manage it for you. So it's really passive mailbox money. So you're really off the job, you know, and then that's what I would do 100%.
Well, if you stuck around to the end of the call here, you just got the blueprint. Now, if people want to connect with you, they want to find out more, they want to figure out, you know, I got to get in touch with this guy here. You know, how do they find Michael? What do they need to do, or where can they find you?
I have a Facebook group. It's called Florida Real Estate Investors. It's got about 35,000 members to it. One of my companies is Level Up Investments.
Okay.
You can go to levelupinvestments.com. So it's levelup-investments.com. Or they can reach out to me. My cell phone number is 786-719-7997. And I'm available to, well, you know, you can pick my brain or whatever. I help a ton of students that we have now with my mentor as it is. So I got no issue. I firmly believe in helping people because that's how we're all going to get ahead. We help enough people get where they want to be, you'll get where you want to be as well. So.
Yeah, you know, you always know when someone's serious when they drop their phone number on the podcast. They're like, phone me up, find me, come get me.
Yeah.
I'm right here. You know, you can reach me on it anytime. So, yeah, great episode. Great, great episode, Michael. I really appreciate your time.
Hey, brother. Thank you, man. I really appreciate you offering this to me. So, thanks.
Yeah, no problem. Until next time, guys, we'll catch you on the next episode.